Hi, everyone. As Sarah mentioned, I'm a second-year MPH student at the University of California, Los Angeles. I completed my undergraduate degree in molecular biology at UC Berkeley, and it's my pleasure to be here today explaining and showing you what I did as my summer project. Just to let you know, I worked at the California Department of Health this summer along with the UC Ergonomics Lab, both located in Richmond, California. I also worked on this project with Michael Lopez, who was also an OHIP intern this summer, and he recently graduated from the University of California, Berkeley. And I have no relationships to disclose. So the main focus of our project this summer was to evaluate the usability of a construction tool called the Jackhammer Lift Assist, and just a little bit of background on construction work itself. Nearly 5 out of every 100 workers are injured on the job. More than half of these injuries can be attributed to musculoskeletal disorders, which are lower back pain and shoulder strain. Jackhammering actually causes a lot of these back and shoulder injuries in construction work, and this actually occurs a lot when the jackhammer, as when the worker's using this 90-pound jackhammer on pavement, and the GAD, which is the little tool right there going into the cement, gets stuck. So a worker expends a lot of energy trying to pull it out while it's still being powered. And the best way for you to see what I'm describing is to see it through this video, where a jackhammer actually gets stuck when we were at a work site. So as you can see, the worker's just trying to lift it up, and it's very hard for him. He's just, it's moving and he's still trying to pull it up. And he's wiggling it out. And finally he just starts to give up because this is a 90-pound tool being pneumatically powered, so it's a lot of work. So a company in Temecula, California actually developed the Jackhammer Lift Assist. And what it does, it's a pneumatically powered foot that pushes the jackhammer, or helps push it out of the ground. What it does, it's supposed to reduce the effort of lifting and repositioning the jackhammer, hence decreasing back and shoulder strain. And the best way for you to see how the lift assist device works is to see it in action. So as we can see, what the lift assist is that little, it's the jackhammer itself is the orange tool, and the lift assist device is the black tool right next to it, and you can see the foot just helping push it out. So a little bit of background on our research. The lift assist device is actually available to workers at Pacific Gas and Electric. And what was interesting is, even though this device is available for their use, and they're even encouraged to use it, workers actually prefer not to use the device. So we were curious as to what is it that is preventing workers from using the device, and if we can identify any problems, what recommendations can we make to help the device become more usable? So our objective was to find out why many workers actually prefer the traditional method of jackhammering. So methods. Well, we went on a couple of site visits to PG&E, with PG&E in San Francisco, California. We conducted worker interviews. They were very in-depth interviews, actually. We spoke with each worker for a minimum of 30 minutes each. We handed out worker questionnaires, which were approved by the UC San Francisco IRB. We had interviews with ergonomic and construction experts, which was very helpful. And we also had an interview with a PG&E union representative. He's the health and safety lead for the union. All members, or I should say workers of PG&E, are members of IBEW Local 1245. And lastly, we visited the Northern California Laborers Training Center just to gain an understanding of how jackhammering is taught at an introductory level. So what did we learn through these worker interviews and questionnaires? Well, workers cited the good things about the lift assist. They said it was helpful on flat and open ground, that it actually did reduce back and shoulder strain when used for a certain amount of time. And you know, once workers give it a try, it generally does gain acceptance. So what were some of the things that they cited that they didn't like, that could use improvement? Well, they said that they didn't feel that the device was actually appropriate for all work situations, such as hills and limited space. Limited space meaning like tight corners. The hills part is actually very important because San Francisco is a very hilly city. So if they're supposed to be using it in San Francisco and they don't feel it works on hills, then probably wouldn't be the most appropriate place to use it. There was also one worker that cited that he felt it decreased the accuracy of his work. There were complaints about a large reach for the activation trigger, which is actually very interesting because, you know, this could potentially lead to another ergonomic issue, because if you're trying to solve, you know, from the jackhammer getting stuck in the ground, but workers are having to strain their hands, you know, you're trying to solve one ergonomic issue, but maybe causing another. And by far the biggest complaint, every worker cited the additional 10-pound weight increase on the jackhammer. This is very important because, as I mentioned before, the jackhammers that Pacific Gas and Electric uses already weigh 90 pounds, but now it's going to be 100 pounds with the lift assist device. So one PG&E worker pretty much summed it up, and you know, he said it's a good idea, but it needs some work. So what recommendations, what changes can we possibly make to make the lift assist device a little bit more user-friendly? Well, decrease the activation trigger reach, definitely decreasing the weight of the device, and you know, modifying the foot, which as you can see right underneath that black tool, modify that foot in a way that it would conform to a sloped surface, hence the hill. Other recommendations that Michael and I came up with that aren't exactly pertinent to the lift assist device itself, but more so in construction work, is a larger storage compartment for the device. Some workers complained that they felt that the trucks, the space was very awkward for them to try to put the jackhammer in. They would get like backaches just trying to pick up this 90-pound tool and trying to fit it in. Putting the jackhammer away as a team whenever possible, as in the picture. And you know, conducting periodic safety training for individual work crews, which, you know, seems simple enough, but work crews aren't static. You know, yearly, men on these crews retire, new workers are coming in, so if they could get a yearly, just a yearly introduction again to jackhammering and risks, at least, you know, everybody would be on par that time of the year. And also incorporating the lift assist into initial jackhammer trainings. You know, when they're first learning the jackhammer, if they learn to use the lift assist device first. So some challenges to our project was project time limitation. You know, 8 to 10 weeks is not a lot of time to try to gain access into the sites and, you know, try to arrange worker interviews. We had a small sample size, but, you know, it would make sense because not everybody jackhammers, and even if not everybody that jackhammers, but even those that jackhammer may not even know how to use the lift assist device. There was not much literature specific to jackhammer musculoskeletal injuries, and interestingly, through the course of our interviews with the workers, we learned that jackhammer injuries aren't limited to musculoskeletal disorders, as we'll see in the next slide. Other issues that workers cited was noise. Just being out on the construction site, there's so much noise. Like, we were given foam earplugs, and it was just impossible to hear anything anybody was saying. Vibration. One worker reported after using a jackhammer for an extended period of time, his hands cramping up and him not being able to close them for a while. By far, road traffic was cited as their number one concern more than anything else. They're terrified of getting hit by a car. And especially when they put in the plugs and jackhammering, they can't hear anything. They can't hear a car approaching. And there was also a concern for exposure to silica dust. We also had a lot of successes in our project. We had cooperative PG&E liaisons and crews. If we wouldn't have had our liaison and, you know, crews there answering our questions, we wouldn't have been able to complete our project. So they were key in us even being able to get this done. Our interviews with the ergonomic and construction experts were key in helping Michael and I just, you know, learn about social behavior theory of learning and, you know, other construction issues that we hadn't even thought of. We also obtained sufficient videotape footage for our OHIP Give Back project, which was a video pretty much outlining our findings and our recommendations on the lift assist device. And most importantly, you know, just understanding additional construction work hazards that, you know, Michael and I weren't aware of before we even started this project. Just really gaining an admiration and, you know, comprehension of the workers doing this type of work. I had no idea about all these risks, and we just really learned to admire the men and the people that do this type of work, because it is really tough. And lastly, we wouldn't have been able to accomplish this project, you know, without the mentorship, guidance, and funding of these people and these agencies. So we're very grateful to them. Thank you.